Scheduler, did you get Ryan Reynolds for the 100th episode of Don't Evolve Me? No? You did not schedule Ryan Reynolds. You're not the schedule. Who is the scheduler? I'm the schedule. Well, I definitely did not schedule him. Well, who the fuck are you then? Oh, you're a figment of my imagination. That makes sense. Hi there. Welcome to Don't Evolve Me. This is our 100th episode. And we got guest Brandon Klein. He's wondering what the fuck's going on.
Here for the ride.
He's ready to use a safe word.
Cue the music.
And welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash Ketchum, Pikachu, we don't evolve. We just level up here with Brandon Klein. Hello.
Hello.
We did it, 100 episodes. We are kind of celebrating it today.
Yes, 100 episodes.
Even though technically we kind of recorded our 100th episode yesterday.
They don't need to know that.
They do now. And then we're also going to be celebrating during the D&D episode, even though that's technically like episode 104, probably 105, 106, 107, whenever I get done editing it.
You could just delete the first like 7 episodes that you did.
I could just delete the episode
to make it and then into episode 100.
Dude, every episode could be 100 episodes.
Just delete the first one. We're celebrating 100 episodes again this week. That's a good idea.
Go on TikTok, be like, hey, 100th episode, which means 100 more followers. And then just do that every single time. Like, Jake, this is like the 10th time you did this. I'm like, yeah, I keep deleting it.
Yeah,
it's the 100th episode.
Not lying.
But in this episode, this is our, it's kind of a mixture of a couple things. One, it's the 100th episode of Don't Evolve Me. It's also the state of review for Deadpool 1 and 2. But more importantly, this is our Deadpool and Wolverine preview. Mm-hmm. This is getting ready for the MCU Jesus. This is getting ready for the reignition that the MCU needs, or it's going to just put it in its grave. One of the two.
Yep. Hoping for the first. I haven't been real impressed with Marvel lately, but I don't want it to fail. I would like for it to be good.
I'm there. I want this movie to be really good. Mm-hmm. Or just so bad that we almost have to have a reset. I don't want the latter. I'd rather have this movie be good. And from what the reviews have indicated, the first 35 minutes have been shown to a lot of critics. And there have been a lot of critics who are saying that this will do exactly what it's supposed to do. Reinvigorate the franchise, get it motivated, and essentially show off the X-Men that is coming to the MCU in the next decade or so. Mm.
Fingers crossed.
We'll see. All right, let's get into it before we get started. What are you nerding out on, Brandon Klein?
Well, after you got me into the Pokey MMO that I played for quite a while, I discovered a new Pokemon game that I enjoy called Pokey Rogue, which is like a roguelite Pokemon game where you just kind of build up a team and you just keep battling all the way through like 200 levels. It's a ton of fun. It's very difficult, though. I've spent many hours banging my head against the wall trying to get there. I think I have a pretty good team right now in my run. I have a Latios and an Archelodon and a Volcanrana.
Okay.
And Archeops, who I think is like low-key one of my favorite Pokemon. So good.
Archeops?
Yeah, Rock Flying. It's just like great typing.
Is that in your Pokemon MMO team?
It was on one of them, yeah.
Just asking for a friend.
Yep. It was on
just
one of them.
Just asking for a friend. Trying to get some information before I get my team started and going.
Yeah, I for every region in Pokemon MMO, I played with completely different teams. I wanted to have different Pokemon on my championship for every Elite Four that I went through.
I like it. Nice. I kind of did that, and then I ended up just using the same ones from Hoenn and Johto. Well, I guess technically I still haven't beat a single Elite Four yet. I'm working my way there. It takes time between time and motivation and kids. It's
difficult. I see that.
Anything else you're nerding out on? I know originally before we started, you talked about One Piece and how are now caught
finally,
up with the dub.
Finally caught up with the dub. So we're on to the sub stuff. So I think we're basically at the end of the Wano arc. I don't know if it's like technically the end of the Wano arc, but it's basically
what episode are you on?
I want to say it's like 1060 something. I can take a quick peek here.
Okay, I believe Egghead starts 1090.
Yeah, because it's not quite. I was surprised. I thought we were going to make it. 1074. I thought we were going to make it to the end of the Wano arc before it was subtitled, but we didn't quite. Yeah, apparently. So
get there.
For the people that are just watching the dub, I feel bad for you because it ends at a very inopportune moment. Like things are popping off, yeah. And it's like, oh well, now you're done till the next dub episodes come out.
Are you gonna watch as the new dub ones come out like each week?
Maybe I'll do that on my own. But I think me and Alex are gonna go forward watching the sub. I'm kind of weird where it doesn't really bother me that much, like switching between subtitled and the dub. I prefer to watch dubs just because it's easier most of the time to not have to read everything. Yeah. But it doesn't really bother me that much, so I'm excited.
Nice. Anything else?
That's pretty much it right now.
All right. So I have some new nerding out on topics.
Okay.
Well, somewhat new. I mean, I've been really into Fallout 4 the last week or so, like getting really into it. My character is basically a ninja. Okay. I would say. I think of more like samurai. I just found the I forget what the name of it. Tom was showing it to me this weekend. The shish kebab. It's why it's essentially like a sword, but you have like jet fuel attached to it, and it's literally just like has fire coming off of it.
So it stabs really good.
Stabs really, really, really good. Okay. But mine's like a sneak character, so I just sneak up everybody and I kill everybody in one hit.
Nice.
There was like the famous monster Swan. I killed it in like four hits. It's like kind of cheap, but kind of cool. Just coming up, running the people, and then you just chop their heads off.
Satisfying.
So yeah, Fallout 4 is really, really fun. I just got into the Institute and I am buying into them. I know that you haven't played the game, but the Institute's like the big evil bad of the game.
Hmm.
But there's like a shocking revelation like in the middle of the game that makes you kind of think, huh, they're essentially just like a group of scientists that are underground and they do a lot of shady stuff.
Okay.
But like initially when they bring you in, they're like, hey, we do this for science. And then the turning point is like, hey, now go kill this whole group for us.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, we will show you that we're not that evil. But hey, the first thing we're going to ask you to do, the first couple things we're going to ask you is just essentially massacre a group of people.
Fair enough.
So it's like, I'm like, oh, that's because I was playing it. I'm like, this group actually isn't that bad. I'm like, and then I keep going further on the storyline. And like, hey, we want you to kill this group. But like, oh, okay, this is where I jumped off.
Yeah.
Like, you can just like, can you ease me into the massacring?
Right, right. You know, start with like one person here or there. Then, you know, build it up and, you know, little mini genocides.
Yeah, you know, just like here and there, you know, like, maybe I assassinate this person and assassinate this person. They're like, no, an entire group.
Mm.
And it's like one of the main factions. So it's not like a faction that I care about, but it's also just like, okay, you know, you tell me you're not a bad guy, but then you have me do bad guy things.
Right, right.
Classic. Like I want to buy me in, you know, It's like,
at least,
I guess technically
at least manipulate me a little bit more. Right.
Right. You know, like,
tell me, you know, that they're up to some real evil stuff.
Like, yeah, you paid for the dinner. That's great. But like, you know, maybe take like 10 more dates to ask me for anal.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's the metaphor I came up with, but that's the metaphor I came up with. A couple other games I'm playing: Link of the Past. Oh, Link to the Past.
Okay.
The Zelda game for SNES. I just randomly fired it up and started playing it, and it's fun. I can see why. Why some people think it's the greatest game or greatest Zelda game of all time. I believe, correct me if, or I don't know, think you could correct me because I don't know if you'd remember this. I believe New Guy Tony is the one who was talking about Zelda and his love for it. No, wait, it just.
Uh oh.
Yeah, as I have the memory of who actually said that this game was the best, it was a guy who reminded me of Tony, but he was actually a doctor. But he also works at the hospital, so it could have been Tony, and I just didn't recognize him at the time. Sure. Moving on. It's hard to, like, nerd out, because I've been so, like, looking into, like, all these shows that we've been doing, like The Boys, The Acolyte, House of Dragons. Like, I've been rewatching these shows, and it's, like, it's been hard to, like, dive into other things. But I've
these shows are like all an hour long for each episode, so if you're rewatching them, I mean, it is quite a bit of time that you're sinking into them.
And I also watched The Receiver, the first two episodes, which is a Netflix documentary series on NFL receivers from last season. So I was also watching that, like throwing out my sports taste. And like as I'm watching this, like this has nothing to do with my show, but I like as a fan, I'm like, I just want to know what Justin Jefferson's like.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta have some personal stuff too, right? It can't all be for the show.
That's fair. But all of the things I watch from the show is also personal.
That's true. It's nice when there's that crossover, but
it's like a mix. Yeah. It is nice though. I will say it is nice just be like, you know, I'm just watching this for fun. I don't have to like think. I don't have to like
pay attention,
you know,
as actively. Much. Yeah.
Yeah. I can just zone out. Sometimes I do that with some of the movies. The last thing I want to mention, Maven, my daughter, has been asking to watch Pokemon a lot more lately. And it's just adorable. It's cute. She'll just look at the TV and just go, Mon! Mon!
Are you?
And I'm like,
are you watching the original Pokemon series or the new one?
I'm watching, so me and Scott, we started rewatching all of it. And it really originally started with him like 3 years ago. And we were in Johto. When we started, because we were watching a series on YouTube that like recapped everything. So we kind of just started where they left off. And so we watched it with Scott, and then it was kind of just background. And then anytime there was like a bigger stuff, then I would start paying attention more. But we ended up at Sinnoh.
Okay.
It's kind of an on and off thing. We'll watch. We'll throw in some other things. But Maven's been wanting to watch it, so I'm like, I'll throw out some of the old Kanto episodes.
You could start watching the new one. I've heard it's really good.
It's the goal. Try to make it. I threw it on original first. Yeah.
Oh god.
I threw on Gen 6 because I also was told Gen 6 was really really good, and the animation's beautiful. The show doesn't make sense though with like Team Rocket constantly. We're gonna go after Pikachu. It's like, man, the boss lives next to the forest where they found Pikachu.
Right. They do make Pikachu. And then they have all these rare Pokemon in the show.
They do, and then they have like all these like really expensive like weaponry to try to get this one Pikachu. And I'm like, your profit margins gotta be like massive negative. Like you're like the negative millions for this. Like I don't know how you have these funds, but I guess technically James is a billionaire.
Just real, real deep into it. It's a sunk cost fallacy, right?
We've already
spent too much money, too much time.
And then I feel like at the end of the series, they ended up like being friends, or I don't know. I just remember like Team Rocket actively cheering for Ash becoming the greatest.
I mean, after getting
beat
beat by him so many times, you know, maybe they really
20 years.
I guess if anything, it'd make you feel a little bit better if you keep losing to somebody and it turns out that they're just like the best person in the world. Like it's got to make you feel a little bit better, right?
Yeah, I feel like it's what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, I would say just it makes you feel better. You know, like, oh, I lost to the champion. Right. I guess, like...
That's fair.
All right. Should we get to the news?
Let's do it.
It's time for a news quickie. Oh, yeah.
Video lovers will love this. All right, let's get into the news. The Last of Us Part 2 has been revealed. I only have 7 episodes.
Interesting.
Instead of, I believe, 8 from last season. They have talked extensively how season 2 is going to be, or part 2 is going to essentially be broken into potentially 2 or 3 seasons, which makes sense because that game is very long and makes sense. Like, I can see 3 seasons of that show.
In 100 or so hours of the game, definitely translates into...
Yeah, well, it's like 30 or 40, I believe.
That's not that long.
Yeah. It's like a story game rather than, you know, like it's not like Red Dead Redemption, which is like 100 hours long, or Baldur's Gate, where there's a lot more other components that you have to do. Whereas this is like straight story. Okay. If it was like an RPG element on top of that, I feel like it'd be longer.
Okay.
Did you hear about Spider-Man Noir?
With Nicolas Cage? Yeah. I did hear about that a while ago. I kind of forgot to mention it. I'm pretty hyped about that.
I forgot that it's a thing, and I'm like, you know, like you hear all these all these shows that potentially can be released that they're working on, but then like they get canceled or we just
forget about them.
we don't Spider-Man Noir was one of these shows, and they officially like started releasing some casting. Lamorne Morris is going to be Robbie Robertson. This is from this guy used to be a New Girl, as well as Jake Johnson.
Okay, I know who that is.
He was also a New Girl. So it's kind of cool, like, hey, maybe Jake Johnson will show up as Spider-Man in this series too, because since Lamorne Morris will be in it as well. Sandman is going to be a potential villain for the show.
Okay. Like a...
I don't know if he's going to be...
A Spider-Man noir style Sandman. I wonder what that's like.
Black and white?
Fair. Do you think they're going
to
shoot
it? I feel like the show has to be...
Do you think they're going to shoot it in black and white?
You almost have to, right? Like, it can't be
colored. I would agree with that, but I think there's been like a lot of studies shown that people just won't watch those that are in black and white just because they're in black and white. It's like a big turnoff for people. So it could just like severely limit the viewers by making it in black and white.
Well, maybe the dot or the spot will show up and infect color into the world.
Or maybe they'll do like two versions, a black and white version and a regular, kind of like they did with Logan. They re-release that in black and white.
I just don't know how you're going to do black and white when the world is literally black and white. Like, Spider-Man Noir literally looked at a Rubik's Cube and was like, what is this
thing?
speaking of series that is going to be a series, The Penguin is officially moving forward, whereas Arkham Asylum has essentially been canceled.
I'm still a little on the edge about that. I don't know.
It feels like overkill for a universe that we're not really going to explore much into.
Yeah. I'm getting real like kind of like Gotham vibes. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be better as far as like writing and action and stuff like that. It's just like, it's, you know, Spider-Man without Spider-Man.
It feels like we don't need it. Like, it's kind of like, we're good. We're satiated. We already got this type of show already, even though it's not that great.
I don't want a Batman show without Batman as like the main character.
There's so much. That's a whole topic. I feel like there is like creatively, like there's a lot of stories to be had, but I also don't feel like I want it. That makes sense. Let's move on so we can talk about our main topic. Captain America: Brave New World has released its trailer. Yes,
I did see. Did you watch it?
What is your thoughts on
that? I'm a big Harrison Ford fan, so I'm curious about that. But I don't know. I'm not.
That man got
swag. Yeah, I'm not sold on a whole lot of the MCU stuff or on that specifically. I don't know. It could be good, but I don't know. I'm just not hyped.
It reminded me of the TV show, and the TV show was fine. It was okay. It didn't really do like enough for me. Harrison Ford is cool. He has swag. It was coming off the screen. Red Hulk, the leader. I'm like, I'm not super interested. I think of A-Train and it was like, hey, we've just reshot this whole thing again. It's like we've made a whole new movie. It's got to be good, right? Because it's the most expensive movie ever. Like, Captain America, like Brave New World, has been reshot so many times, and like the plot itself has been rewritten so many times that I have no idea if this is going to be a good
or if it's just going to be a movie. Mess.
And like now it's I can never say his name. Stan Edgar, Gus Fring,
I could never say his name either.
Espinito. Yeah. It's like Giancarlo. Yeah.
I don't want to butcher it.
He's gonna be in the movie. And like he was like a late addition and no one knows what his villain is.
Giancarlo Esposito. I probably butchered that enough.
The only other little thing I have is Eric Kripke talking about the finale of The Boys and basically hinting that Butcher and Homelander are going to, it's going to be that fight.
Okay.
So I just put it in there. It was supposed to be part of The Boys, but all right, let's get into our main topic.
Let's do it.
Let's start off with Deadpool and Wolverine preview.
Okay.
So I think that's like the biggest thing. We are doing this to preview Deadpool and Wolverine. And what is your expectations for this movie?
Well, I as far as like what happens or like what do I think it's going to be?
Let's do both. Expectations of like what's going to happen, what are we going to see, plus expectations of like quality.
Well, I assume it's going to be just like a crazy cameo fest of just a ton of different, you know, legacy people from over the years, hopefully in a good way. I don't know. What rewatching Deadpool 1 and parts of Deadpool 2 and stuff like that, I feel like if anything can like do it justice and stuff like that and not make it into just like Remember Barry type movie or whatever, I think it'll be Deadpool and Wolverine instead of just being like
Remember Sabretooth? Yeah. I remember.
Yep. So I don't know. I think it's gonna be good. I'm really hoping that it's gonna be just kind of boom, 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 really fast paced and just like nonstop through the whole thing.
I think the expectation is we're gonna get a cameo fest, but I also feel like that was the expectation for Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. And it in a way was. In a way.
Yeah, for one
scene. But they more or less for like a scene, right? And that's where I'm like, is Deadpool, like, is this movie going to actually deliver the amount of rumors that we've heard before? Because Endgame had these crazy amount of rumors of what we're going to see. And we did see a lot of shit in that movie, but we didn't see, like, it wasn't like Deadpool showed up. There's also rumors that, like, Deadpool is going to, like, redo Endgame. And he's going to, like, rewrite himself into the MCU so he was actually there.
That's very, very Secret Wars-esque of the original Deadpool.
Yeah.
Where he, it turns out he was but like I also... Spider-Man in the black suit and stuff like that.
He was Venom before Spider-Man was, and that's why Venom became evil.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
Well, that, and I think Secret Wars, because the original black suit Spider-Man had nothing to do with a symbiote. He was just like in a black suit. And Deadpool like tricks him and they're like, oh, go into this machine or whatever, and it'll do something. And then it changes him into the black suit. And that's like the explanation for why he's wearing a black suit all of a sudden in Secret Wars. So I don't know. I could see something like that happening.
Trying to think of a joke of like, why would you need black pants? And I can't.
Yeah. Doesn't hide blood as well as red.
No, no. So my expectations is kind of similar. I think it's going to be a cameo fest, but I feel like it's going to be more limited. I think we're going to get like maybe some nods here and there. I don't think it's going to be as crazy as like the internet states, but I also know that the internet itself, and we are also technically the internet.
That's true.
Like it's going to be overstated, but I do think there's going to be some cameos. I know the Hulk versus Wolverine fight is going to like is hinted at in the trailer, hinted towards that. It said it was Sabretooth and Wolverine, but it's like that we weren't waiting that long for this.
We've seen Sabretooth and Wolverine fight plenty of times, but Wolverine and the Hulk, that is something I'd pay money to see.
But overall, like story wise, I'm trying to keep my mind clear of like what to exactly expect, because I'm like, I want this to be a bigger story, and it seems like we're leading to a bigger story, but it might be smaller.
I think it might be a bigger story, but also like, I don't know, kind of more in like the style of the end of Deadpool 2, where it's just like a bunch of stuff happening and changing things without like a whole lot of like time spent on it. And then more of like dealing with the aftermath later of like Deadpool's insurrection into the universe.
Yeah. I do like the fact that they added the TVA too. I think you'd assume that they have to mention Loki, since Loki is at this point, I guess spoiler alerts for the end of Loki season 2, he is now stuck and he is now like the holder of time, essentially. Yeah, he helps
tree of
make
whatever.
Sure that, yeah. And it kind of comes back around full circle. He is like the tree of life from the first four. And I hope they at least mention him, because like, Deadpool is going to initially be part of the TVA, and the guy, the actor who plays him, I'm pretty sure he plays Tom in Succession, and great actor.
Okay.
And I'm like, I recognize that guy, but I don't know where he's from. And then I saw the trailer again, and it, you know, rating wise, I'm saying 4.
You think it's going to be a 4?
I think it has to be.
I'm hoping for a 4+ at least.
Yeah,
I think it's really gonna nail it. In my opinion,
I think it has to be a 4- or higher for this to be considered a success.
I would agree with that.
But I honestly think this can't fail. Like, this is Hugh Jackman, Ryan Reynolds. Like, they made the story specifically for these two. I feel like these two wouldn't do the project unless it was worthy. Yeah.
I'd like to say that, like, as well, but I don't think can't fail is a good thing, because then you're just like asking for trouble.
Agree. I mean, I'm not the producer. Yeah. Like, oh, well, I can't fail. Like, I don't have to give any oversight.
But you
like,
have the will to infest the universe. You know, what do they call that? What's the word when you visualize something and it comes true?
Manifestation.
So you can't manifest it.
I can't.
You can't think that it can't fail.
Manifestor, yeah. Not.
You're going to jinx it.
Okay. Well, if it's bad, it's not my fault.
It is. Man. Now it is, because he said that, and I won't forget it.
Do you think we're going to get like a bigger Endgame film, or do you think we're going to get like a smaller individual story?
For this movie?
If you had to put it on a scale, which side do you think it's going to lean more on?
I think it's going to be like more focused, because I feel like, I mean, Deadpool's got to be in pretty much like every scene, I'm sure. And I mean, you know, Wolverine's going to be there a lot too. But I could see like a lot of big like set pieces and stuff like that, and like events kind of reminiscent of Endgame. But I think it will be like focused on specifically his character.
I think so too. I feel like this is going to be a mixture, a blend. And I think it's going to be kind of like Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, in the sense that like, not, it, hold on. The movie was a 3+ in my mind. It's not too far off.
Yeah, I don't know if I quite go that far.
But I mean, like, I think they're going to travel a lot of different places, locations, through time, through universes. And I think it's going to be a bigger scale of like, they're going to connect more things together. And I think they're going to somehow blend in Deadpool into the MCU. And I think they're going to explain it. And I think you could argue that it's going to feel bigger, but it's not going to be like Endgame. Yeah,
that's kind of what I'm thinking too, that it's going to kind of
maybe like No Way Home,
push them in there. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. More focused, but still like a big story.
Who do you think we're getting for cameos?
I don't know. Like every single person that's been in the Fox movies has been rumored. So it's,
yeah. Jennifer Gardner, I think, is one of them, right?
Yeah. I don't know how excited I am to see. I think I would rather see Ben Affleck as Daredevil again.
I don't know if I would want to see that, because if I see that, I definitely want to see Charlie Cox.
Yeah, but like we know we're getting more Charlie Cox. Like there's a new show coming out.
That's fair. I don't mind seeing Electro, just because I think there would be a cool joke for it. I am currently looking up
the rumor mill.
What cameo is there? Yeah, look it up real quick. Patrick Stewart as Professor X, which he was already technically in the MCU. Halle Berry as Storm. I hope she says the line, because there was a joke that I've seen like on the line of like, what do you get when you what is it? You mix a toad in,
or when you hit a toad with lightning, it gets electrocuted. Wow. Something along those lines. Yeah.
I hope she just says like that line again, and Deadpool's like, "Oh, she said the thing." It's like worse than the first time. This is great.
Yeah,
just making fun of it. James Marsden is Cyclops. Here, I have a list of five that I want.
You know, I'm a big fan. James Marsden was my favorite Cyclops up until X3.
I feel like this time,
I don't really consider X3 to be part of it, because they just kill him off right away and it's all terrible.
How dare you go be in Superman?
Yeah, that was dumb.
It was. So I have a list of five.
Okay.
The characters that I want to see. And I didn't ask you to make a list, and I probably should have.
You just like to keep me in the dark. But just kidding.
So here's my top five. And it could be ever evolving too, because like if you throw out an idea, I'm going to be like, "Ooh, yes!" But Chris Evans, but as a Human Torch,
I think that one's probably number one, right? Everyone wants, because I mean it's like a twofer. You get Chris Evans back, and you get the Human Torch.
Kind of, I think it'd just be cool just for Deadpool to be freaking out, be like, "Oh, it's Captain America," and he goes like, "No, I'm Human Torch." I don't know. I just think that'd be hilarious to have him come back for that.
He does already kind of do that with Josh Brolin, calling him Thanos in Deadpool 2.
Yeah, but also the reason why I say this, because I think Chris Evans' Human Torch could have a lot more fun with Deadpool as the Human Torch.
Than Captain America. I would agree with that. I think that one's probably my number one.
Number two is Magneto for either actor. Mm-hmm.
I love Michael Fassbender and Sir Ian McKellen. Yeah,
got it.
Took me a second, but I knew it.
I would have been happy with either of them, and they've been heavily rumored.
Why not both?
The entire time. I mean, I can't say maybe I copped up, but like Cyclops, James Marsden, I just he's so badass. Just seeing him in like an actual like
role and like an actual costume, like the actual Cyclops costume, that would be sick.
And I would love to see him just be badass and just Deadpool being like, you know, like freaking out, like we actually get to see you do something cool. You know, Jean Grey, OG actor.
I don't think people care too much about Sophie Turner's Jean Grey, especially after the Phoenix. Like that kind of left it. I could see some jokes about Dark Phoenix.
I could see that too. That's like why I put
especially because it was like the dark end of the Fox universe, and it ended on such a
I just imagine what that like what jokes you can come from that. They're like, "Oh, Jean Grey, please don't kill me off screen." It's like, is the other half with you, or are you normal? Yeah. You know, like that. The other one I have is Nightcrawler,
Like the OG Nightcrawler.
Yeah, I mean the newer Nightcrawler would be fine too. Just Nightcrawler in general would be dope.
Nightcrawler is a cool character.
Anyone else that you think would be on the list? Like I thought of like Blade, like would be
get kind
of
Wesley cool. Snipes in there.
any version of Spider-Man.
Yep, would be I agree with that. Spider-Man would probably be like the other really big one, but I'm hoping that we will just get like a Spider-Man and Deadpool movie eventually. I like that would be that's like same. The next big peak. I think Deadpool Wolverine first, then Deadpool and Spider-Man.
I get. Yeah, Pyro is going to be for sure in the movie. The actor talked about it.
The original Pyro?
Kidpool. Okay. Yes. For some reason, I kept thinking it was the guy who played Iceman.
Oh, yeah.
I kept thinking it was him, but I'm like, wait, no. Fire the boys. Ice X.
Is that the same guy? Because he has like a twin brother that's looks exactly like him.
Because
I used to always confuse the two of them. One of them was in Smallville, and the other one played Iceman.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it was him. Okay. It was him. Walker Skullbell is going to be Kidpool, so Kidpool's going to be in there. Sabretooth, we already know he's going to be involved. Oh yeah, Jason Fleming is going to be Azel, so he's going to be in there. Mobius, yeah,
it's okay.
Marcus Mobius with
what's his face, who I don't like very much, but I think that would be pretty funny, pretty interesting.
Owen Wilson.
No, I'm thinking about Morbius.
Oh yeah,
but I guess that's Sony, so that probably won't work.
I thought you were going to tell me that you didn't like Owen Wilson. I'd be like, oh wow.
I mean, did you watch like the like 7-minute video of him on a jet ski or whatever that they posted?
Wow. Oh wow,
I'm a big fan for sure.
I don't think he's gonna be in this movie. I have a feeling he won't be, but I really hope he is, because like Owen Wilson, Deadpool, I want to see it.
I mean, he is like a big part of the TVA, so it would make sense for him to be in it.
Moving on, Cassandra Nova is going to be the main villain. From what you know of Cassandra Nova, do you think she's going to be a worthy villain for this movie, for this role?
What if I told you I know nothing of Cassandra Nova? So maybe.
You have no expectations going into this film. I don't know much. Okay, so I'm not the biggest X-Men person. I've read like their latest comics up until about 2 years ago. Sokoa I'm very familiar with, and even that was like me kind of learning X-Men through like the newer comics. I don't know much about Cassandra Nova. I know that she's like reportedly either the twin sister or sister of Professor X. So I don't, it seems like this actress, from what I've seen, I don't know, I have high hopes, but we'll see. And it does seem like this villain from the comics, from what I have learned, is big enough to fight the two.
Okay.
And to be this like bigger villain.
Well, I mean, she's related to Professor X. But I guess we'll see. She's got to be pretty powerful, right?
Yeah. And then like even Deadpool 2, when we talk about it, like who's the villain of that movie?
Juggernaut. Yep.
Kind of. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's like the main antagonist, I guess, right? Like the one that he actually fights and mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. So Feige says that this film's going to introduce X-Men. Do you think this film sets up X-Men in the universe or just shows us X-Men? It's
just going to give us... I really like for it to actually, like, the end of this movie to be like, okay, now things are different in the MCU. Like, that's my ultimate hope, mm-hmm. is that, you know, it's a big shakeup and going forward. But at the same time, we also know that, like, Captain America, Brave and the Bold, or Brave New World, Brave and the Bold, and all these other movies, they've been working on them for years now. So what are the odds mm-hmm. that they're actually going to be, like... after, you know, post Deadpool and Wolverine, or is it just going to be like a bunch of movies that have nothing to do with like this? So if anything does happen, it doesn't affect anything. That's one thing I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Cause it's very much like the,
well,
what did they call that? The Eternals, how like they did all this stuff now there's giant, mm-hmm. you know, whatever they call them, Celestials in the ocean and
Tiamat,
and nobody cares. And it's just like not referenced in anything at all.
It was referenced in the new trailer.
They
finally did
the trailer for Deadpool.
No, Captain America, Brave New World. He was in there. Just
did they reference it? I missed that part.
I did too, but it's in there. They did it. They referenced it. It's been 2 years, but they did it.
Yeah.
Or is it 3 years?
It's been a while. I feel like
it's been a while. It's been a while, but they finally referenced it. You know, I get what you mean. This is my prediction. Mm. My prediction is I think what they're going to do is they're going to show a world of X-Men, and either Deadpool's going to be part of that world or Deadpool's going to be into the MCU. If anything, the only thing that's going to be introduced to the MCU is Deadpool himself. But I do think we're going to get a world of X-Men. I think we're going to they're going to show us a world of X-Men, and then by the time Secret Wars come around, I think they're going to combine them.
Okay.
That's going to be my prediction.
I would like that. At least then it would feel like this movie actually mattered, especially if they, you know, kind of, I guess I don't know. I don't know what their plans are. It is kind of wishy-washy as far as, you know, they're probably going to want to recast all new people for everything. And so all of the X-Men that we see in this won't be the same X-Men that we see in the new Marvel movies.
Yeah.
So there's kind of like a little bit of a disconnect there, especially since I'm sure a lot of these actors, I mean, they're here for like their cameo, for like their time to, you know, one last hurrah kind of thing in this movie.
Yeah.
It's not like they're, oh, now I'm going to be in the MCU and do that for 20 years or whatever. So,
yeah, because their time is gone. Past. Yeah. But we'll see. I think the purpose of this movie, what we need to do is enjoy the movie itself, the characters and the cameos as like the appearance, rather than the overarching discussion of like, what does this do to the MCU moving forward? Because I feel like if you think of it that way, like this last like 4 years now, or 5 years since Endgame came out, like we've been thinking about these movies, like, oh, what does this mean? What does this mean for the MCU as a whole? Mm. And we approach movies these ways, and like
we're just constantly the writers disappointed. Themselves,
yeah. Mm. And like it's hard to just enjoy movies for that fact, because you can't just connect everything. It's you have 2-3 hours to connect everything, but like it doesn't,
you know, that's
service the actual story being
that's
told.
My in my opinion why Guardians of the Galaxy did so well is because since it's like a space show and it's just like way out in the middle of nowhere, they can do all this stuff without worrying about the effects on the base MCU, and it can kind of be its own thing instead of like if it's on Earth and like there's some giant Galactus coming, why isn't every single one of the Avengers involved, you know what I mean? So I think that is a big boon for like that type of storytelling. And I would like to see more individual stories that's not setting stuff up like that up, but they gotta like stop just doing the same, I don't know, the MCU thing where they have like a villain that has the same powers as the hero and we go through like their struggle. And then at the end, there's a cameo that's like, oh, what's this going to do for it? Like just make a good story and not worry about that other stuff.
Or just making a consistent world and like telling the story of the consistent world. Like Eternals, for example, like the next movie, like, hey, there's the Eternals in the background, or you, like, you see the news of Spider-Man, or you see the news of like all these other characters, all these things that's happening, and it feels like you're seeing like stories in a connected world, whereas like we're not really getting that. Like, for example, Marvel's in Secret Invasion. Like, the events of Secret Invasion was all about Nick Fury and like how he's like this deep depressed person, and then like the Marvels comes out and he's all happy again. And there's like very, very little connection between the actual two. And I'm like, this is awful. Like, how can you have this interconnected universe but not connect two very closely related projects?
Yeah, or at least, you know, keep characters consistent. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Between everything.
Thor, Love, and Thunder being the big one.
Yep. Going through like the same character beats as Ragnarok.
Yeah, or even the first movie too, him like becoming this mature. Like, he's already mature. Yep. Like, he's already
gone
like,
through this three times. Yeah. That. I mean, even like in Endgame with him, you know, dealing with Thanos and dealing with the fallout of losing and stuff like that. And, you know, you think it would have, you know, he wouldn't just keep popping back to the same Thor that he always was.
Yeah. And the Ragnarok was, I wouldn't say like Ragnarok was the same storyline. I feel like it was just his progression through
it
becoming mature, becoming that
king. It really gave him the arc that I feel like he needed, and then it was just a total backslide after that into Love and Thunder.
Yeah, and most fans are like, what the hell is this? Like, it takes you out of the story a little bit.
Oh, it does.
That's how I feel about comics when I like when the comic book changes from like one writer to another writer, and then like this character just like feels like the character went backwards.
Yep.
Like, hey, this person I dumped, like Spider-Man, I dumped MJ, and we're in this whole other.
It's like all of this growth, and then it just like stops, and then you start over, and then it stops, and then you start over. Yeah.
And like, is this are we getting to the point now that like movies are now following the comic book medium because we always have to tell the stories of the superhero, but like, they don't actually grow. We don't see Spider-Man in their 40s or 50s, or we don't the end of like these characters.
It's very much like a sitcom where everything kind of just goes back to the status quo at the end and starts over fresh from the next project.
Yeah, and that's what Thor felt like for Love and Thunder. Yeah,
absolutely.
So yeah, we got a little off track for that one, but I'm curious, we're talking to about see the MCU like what as a Deadpool. Whole. Yeah,
I mean, it's important. The implications that this movie has on the MCU is important.
It is. And I think like if it's a 4+ or I think 4- is the lowest it can be.
Yeah.
And then like a 4- is like a pass, right? Like it's a pass in college. It's like a D. 4+, 5-, like I think like that's like, yeah, I'm excited for the MCU again. Yep. But if it's lower than a 4-, man, the MCU might be.
Yeah.
And I've been saying this for a while now.
Yep.
But it does not seem like that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I just hope. Yeah, I don't know. I think I am worried about all the projects coming after, like Brave New World and everything. The stuff that's just been like being rewritten and worked on for the last 5 years. Like the Ironheart show has been done for like a few years now, and they just won't release it because it must just be that bad.
And then Agatha is now being re-released too, and they've been working on that for 3 years since WandaVision.
I will say that I did watch the trailer for that, and slightly more interesting, but it might just be because I'm into the horror stuff a lot. So like anytime something's kind of horror adjacent, I'm more interested.
Who is it? Catherine Hahn? Is that her name? The actress who played, she did a thing on Jimmy Kimmel where she did like the recap of the whole MCU, and she did it in song. It's fucking great. And like at the end, they're like, just so you know, this is just a shameless plug all along. Like this wasn't a recap. This was just shameless marketing for our new show. And it's like in the song, I'm like, okay, this is pretty dope.
That one could be a surprise hit, even though it's very different and kind of unnecessary.
I would like the shows that just like don't have much involvement, but they're just great. Yep.
I want more.
Like Loki was kind of that.
More individual like stories that are really focused and like hit the points and stuff like that. And it's not just all about setting up like the next king, the conqueror.
King the conqueror. That one definitely backfired. All right, let's get into our state of review, and this is going to be different than a couple other times because I don't think we're going to dive too deep into Deadpool or Deadpool 2, nor I don't think this movie's really to take it in too deep.
Mm.
It's kind of just both these films are smaller, you know, smaller Deadpool stories yep. to enjoy, which has always been Deadpool in its nature. Yep.
Yeah, he's not the big save the universe type of character. It's more character driven no. stories. Well,
if he is, it's a goofy right? So like he can be that character. I've read stories of him being that character, but it's never taken like in seriousness. Hmm. Whereas it's always a smaller, fun story that like I get to a point where I'm like, I don't even feel like I need to read Deadpool comics because they're kind of all the same.
to some extent, yeah.
So let's get into the first movie. Mm. And do you remember how this movie came out?
I remember the release of the test footage that everyone loved, mm-hmm. and then it got greenlit because Ryan Reynolds leaked the test footage, and that's kind of how it got its jump start. I remember when that leaked footage came out, and it was hype.
It was mm. dope. So Deadpool was. For like 5-6 years, it was in like developmental hell. Yeah. And like it was after X-Men Origins, where even Ryan Reynolds now is like, yeah, that was like the stupidest decision they could have done to sew this mouth shut. I should have said something back then. And I'm like, yeah, I think all of us is like, this guy's known for talking. Why is this mouth shown?
Like the first parts with him as Deadpool were pretty good. Like when he's like just like himself. And then, yeah, big turn once. Mm-hmm. He gets blades inserted into his hands and laser eyes.
Yeah, and then like his teleportation power, which is the only time he's ever got that power. Yeah. Except for the video game. Yeah. So in this first movie, the first thing we see is that the leaked footage, right? Mm. They show like a modified version of him dropping down into the truck, and it's his like opening of like, I'm gonna kill Francis.
Yep.
Essentially. Mm. What was your thoughts just like that opening scene? Was that Deadpool, the whole idea of like, this isn't a superhero movie, this is a romance movie.
Yeah, it's a romance movie. Yeah, I mean that's very Deadpool. Be, you know, kind of trying to like stick one genre while also being really firmly planted in another genre of ultra violence.
Very much so. I just remember the beginning where they just like the slow motion and you like, I just remember watching it. And then they have that screen, just seeing all the jokes on the side, making fun of like, oh, it's some white guy, some douche, mm. some this. And I'm just like, fuck yeah, man. They fucking did Deadpool. And Ryan Reynolds does do Deadpool very, very well.
I mean, I couldn't imagine anyone else doing
like, I couldn't. I mean, like, Nolan North does a good rendition in the video game series, like the voice and stuff.
But he is just like a voice actor.
Yeah, and I've seen other voice actors embody Deadpool. So I believe other people can do Deadpool. But Ryan Reynolds is such a personality himself mm-hmm. that is very similar to Wade Wilson mm-hmm. and Deadpool. The fact that they got them the line together into like their own personality,
it's almost perfect.
It fits. What do you think of the first movie, like story wise?
I mean, to be fair, there's not really like a whole lot of a story in it. I mean, there is kind of, you know, we touch it, you know, get like his origin and then him trying to find Francis and kill him. And that's pretty much the story.
Yeah, this whole story. I agree. It's a very small story. It opens up with the whole him murdering a bunch of mercenaries on a random city street. I believe it was Vancouver where they shot this.
Everything's shot in Canada.
But it doesn't. But they don't tell you where it's shot. They don't really give you the larger world. Yeah. They're like, this is part of the X-Men. I love the first beginning scene because it's all about him just counting shots. Yeah. And it's so freaking brilliant how they do it. Like, all right, 12, 11,
some
10.
Some of you guys are going to have to share. Guy,
yep. The guy who shot him in the ass, he's just like, ah, fuck it. 5, 4, 3.
Yep.
It's like, you guys wore the red pants. Like, some of these like quotes are just iconic immediately.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
It's like, oh, you got the right idea. He brought the brown pants. Yep. But yeah, the whole story is like how he got there. And I feel like this movie kind of loses itself is when it takes itself too seriously.
Yeah, you mean like in the romance parts? Like the actual...
Yeah, because the actual story is, right, like he finds love in Vanessa. Him and Vanessa, they share their life together. He gets horrible cancer. Mm-hmm. And he leaves because he doesn't want her to watch him die. He finds Ajax, aka Francis, in this weird facility. And I forget what the facility is. I'm looking at the plot synopsis and I don't remember who it is.
I immediately think about Essex, but I don't know if I know it is in the second movie. I don't know if it is in the first
movie. Yeah. It was SNX in the second one. I would assume this is just SNX or a branch of it. Essex. Essex.
Yeah, that's it.
But yeah, the whole story is like he gets love, he gets tested, he's essentially getting tortured. They don't actually fix him, so he searches for Francis the entire time so he can get fixed, so he can go back to Vanessa. Well,
they do fix him by curing his cancer, essentially. Yes. But yeah, it leaves him horribly scarred because of his mutation, I guess. I always thought it was like burn scars, but I thought that was what it was, but it just kind of happens after his mutation takes effect.
I mean, there is a Freddy Krueger joke in there.
No, yeah.
It looks, you know, Freddy Krueger fucks the topical map of Utah. Yeah.
Looks like an avocado had sex with an uglier avocado.
Yeah. Some of those lines. I do have like a list of like best jokes that I remember. Mm. And I don't know if we're just going to do the list, but one of my favorite one is when he's like working as a mercenary and he's trying to kill like these two girls. And he's just like, is it sexist to not kill you or to kill you? Yeah. The lines are very blurry. Yeah. I don't know what to do.
If I hit you or if I don't hit you. Yeah.
I feel so conflicted, pow.
Yep.
I'm like, that was like my favorite joke. So I'm like, it is just, it looks at the problem of like sexism. Like if you treat, you know, if you treat women badly, is that, you right. know, like is killing them
equal rights?
It's interesting.
Yeah, it is
a line. If I treat you equally, then I have to kill you. But also if it's killing you,
sexist,
am I taking advantage of that?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good ethical question. It's just thrown in a joke where I'm like, anytime I watch that movie, I think about that implication. I'm like, is that sexist? Mm. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think there is a right answer here.
Yep.
Yeah. What is some of your favorite moments from the first Deadpool?
I mean, the Zamboni is pretty iconic. I'm gonna get you in 5 minutes or whatever if you don't. Just like smearing across the ice.
I just thought the beginning scene is like him just laughing, like you die from a Zamboni. Like I just like that.
Yeah. That's one of my,
but like
one that always sticks with me.
Oh yeah, it's also when murder is laughed at.
Mm. I also like
another thought when I was watching
in the beginning, and you're getting like, or I guess not really in the beginning, but you're getting a flashback of him like before he turns into Deadpool, and he's like gets that pizza delivery guy, and the other guy's there. Yeah. He's like, "I'm not here for you. I'm here for you." And he's like, "Oh, thank God." And then he's like, "I shit in your cat's litter box." And he's like, "I don't have a cat." It's like, oh, what did I shit in then?
That was a great scene because you're like, you don't know where it's going, and it just flipped. I'm like, that's great. That's like great Ryan Reynolds. I like the Francis joke
when he's trying to guess his
how
name.
It just,
he, yeah, he ends up guessing right. Yeah, that's classic.
And then he just like, at like the end scene, he's just literally taking like the people and he's like, all right, line this up, let's spell it Francis. Bob, you're gonna be F.
Yeah.
Or where he meets Bob the Hydra agent too. That's
classic.
I do really like that they threw that in there because in the comics he just randomly shows up all the time.
Yep, Bob.
And so I just love that they're just like, oh, here's Bob. Mm. I forget his name. Mohinder. I love his
character. Yeah. Or is it Dopinder?
I
think Mohinder. Maybe it's with a D. Might be Dopinder.
I wrote it down somewhere.
But yeah, classic.
Dopinder. Yep, Dopinder. Dopinder. Okay.
Yeah, classic with him giving him his dating advice and stuff. And like when they're in the cab and he tells him that he kidnapped him and it's like, you got to let him go. Kill him. Yeah, it's like whispering under his breath, telling him what to do.
You did a good job.
Yeah, it's so good.
I really like that they got Colossus for this movie. Mm. Like, I like that they got some Deadpools, and I thought Colossus was kind of like the perfect, like, he is very much the Boy Scout. He is very serious, and I thought it just plays off.
It's a good kind of different X-Men character to use that wasn't like super played out, but is also pretty like iconic X-Men. So yeah, I think that's good.
He's the Colossus I remember. Because I know they have the original Colossus. I'm like, no, this is the Colossus I remember.
I think Colossus has like a cameo scene in like the original X-Men too, right? Like in the mansion scene, you see Colossus, I think, where he like transforms. Gets all the metal and stuff like that. But I don't think he's got like
a big character. He's in the second movie. Yeah. He's not a huge character, but he's there.
I think that's really the only time we see him besides this.
Mm-hmm. We have TJ Miller's character, which is hard to look back at now because of all the things like rumors and allegations, but he is funny in this movie. He fits.
Yeah. Deadpool. Separating the art from the artist. He is very funny.
And then we have, I forget her last name. Gina plays Angel Dust. Yeah.
Gina Carr.
She was in Mandalorian.
Carabina or Caravine or something with a C, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember being like, oh yeah, there, that lady's in it. Mm. She's hot. Where is she from again? And I'm like, oh, Mandalorian.
Was in the Mandalorian, right? Because isn't she no longer part of the Star Wars thing? Did she get fired or something?
She said something dumb and then doubled down on it instead of just taking it back right away. And then they kind of just like let her go. Looking back, it's like, do we have to let go of every artist that says something dumb?
Right. Yeah, that's a whole nother question.
Like, I disagree with it, but I'm like,
right. People can have dumb opinions and still make movies.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's her name? The girl who took over Black Panther, she said something dumb too, and there was a whole like, well, is she going to be the next Black Panther now? Because she just said something dumb too, and I'm like, can we just not fire people for saying dumb things on social media?
At least, you know, take it, you know, give them a chance, kind of roll it back a little bit. Don't take it quite so seriously. Because it's not like, it'd be different if they were like trying to promote, you know, some bad ideas through their work or something like that. Like, that'd be a different story. But just having a dumb opinion on something doesn't necessarily make you an evil person.
No. And then we're going to way too far off track of Deadpool itself. Hello, ADHD. I love that they had a helicarrier in this movie.
Yep.
It wasn't just like a ship. It was an actual helicarrier with no explanation of like where it's from or what universe it is. I do kind of just like the fact that they have it. Another character we haven't mentioned is Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yep.
And the fact that they like got that character.
Yeah, a very random X-Men character to include, but it fits. She's great in both the movies.
I like how they brought her like her teenage attitude, and he's like, all right, you ready? And she's just like, yeah, I'm still texting here, and then kicks ass.
What is the line when he's like yelling at them when they first show up, and he's like, quippy remark or what does he say? Or sullen stare or whatever. She's like, you got me in a box here. I can't remember exactly what it is, but that line always gets me too.
Or when she's like, you're not half bad. Like, something not mean. You can do it. There's so many jokes of Deadpool that I don't know when to, like, I wanted to do a list of like all the jokes, but looking at a scene,
that's just basically the whole movie. So much. I mean, that's basically just both movies are just like joke after joke after joke, but it works.
His masturbation shoes. The fact that he's with like a blind crack addict. Yeah,
I love that. You know, I buried 100 kilos of cocaine someplace along with the cure for blindness. Good luck. And then it pays off in Deadpool 2, which is great. He actually finds it. There's 100 kilos of cocaine and a loaded pistol. The cure for blindness.
Did you like this villain?
Ajax?
Yeah.
Enough. I feel like it wasn't, like, this movie especially wasn't really about the villain. Like, it didn't really matter as much who, like, the actual bad guy was. And, like, having...
I agree. It was serviceable. Yeah,
having somebody that's just, like, really serious and, like, you know, stoic and kind of whatever. I think it did play well with, like, the dichotomy of Deadpool being so crazy.
I like in the the after credit scenes where, like, when they show the actor, and I forget what actor plays it. I know he quit Game of Thrones to be in this movie. But the last scene was just like, this guy's so hot, and then like Deadpool literally just the cartoon figure like jacks off a unicorn and like the rainbow to his name, and I'm like, I don't know why I appreciate that a little bit, because like I didn't think he was that great of a villain, but I also am like, I don't think it was needed.
Yep.
Like I don't know what Deadpool villain you add here that like makes this better without taking away from Deadpool.
Right. It's kind of reminiscent of the second one with like Juggernaut being the villain, as far as like he's pretty one-sided and, you know, not very like an interesting character. It's just kind of like a force. You know, it's just like there, something for Deadpool to butt his head up against.
I think we could have done a little bit more maybe with the Ajax and get somebody who can like play off of Deadpool. But again, then you're getting into
territory. I think it's almost better for him to be just like a unfeeling asshole.
All right, let's get favorite gag. We kind of talked about it already. Studio can't afford another X-Men. That was definitely one of them. The superhero landing. And I think everything else we kind of covered. So let's get into our rating and then our MVP.
Okay. You go first.
Rating, I would say 4/4-.
Yeah, I think it's solid 4. I mean, this is the movie that changed everything, kind of, as far as showing what like a Deadpool movie could be and what a superhero movie could be, because there wasn't really like it was the first like mainstream rated R superhero movie. I guess I think Blade was the original Blade rated R.
I forget. This is like the first movie that like showed studios that like, hey, you can make money
with a rated R movie. It's just period. I mean, I think it's like one of the highest grossing rated R movies period. And they're kind of estimating that Wolverine and Deadpool is going to be the highest grossing rated R movie of all time after it comes out.
We'll see. I think like if this was, if we didn't just do COVID and the actor saying after strike, I think maybe, but I also feel like theater in general is on the decline, so we'll see.
This is gonna be the first movie I've seen in theaters in years, so I mean, if it's, you know, making us or making me and you go see it, I mean, I feel like a lot of other people are gonna be in that same boat where they go and see it. You don't want to miss out because you don't want to be like the one person that hasn't seen it, you know, especially if you're in that fan group. So I could see it, and rated R movies have just like a lot lower threshold because they're rated R, because there's that obvious, you know, no children kind of thing.
Yeah.
Although
children are
excellent. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tons of families are going to go see this movie, no doubt.
For sure. So you said 4, solid 4. I wrote 4- initially. I'm like, I feel like 4- is just because, like, I feel like it could have been more in terms of story. Because I do think, like, once we get into the seriousness of the story, it's like there was a good solid 20, 30 minutes where I'm like, oh, we're in the solid story. I don't actually care for the story. It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
You know,
it's definitely not what, like, the main purpose of the movie was. It's an experience.
No. Who's your MVP?
Of the first one?
It has to be Deadpool.
Yeah. I mean, he's really the only one that's there enough. I mean,
I have two others.
I do love, I can't remember her name. The little old lady. What was her name?
Old something.
I think she's great. Just like living with Deadpool. She is. Like that idea of him.
She's in the Fallout series.
Is she?
Yeah. She's on the Vault Tech people. I forget what her name is. I know it's like very obvious.
Yeah.
Blind Owl.
Blind Owl. Yep. That's it.
I got it. So MVP has to be Deadpool. I have Colossus and Dupinder as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think. But, I mean, he's a great character too. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he's. Yeah, I can see it. I mean, it's got to go to Deadpool, though.
Yeah, it's his movie. Mm. All right, let's talk Deadpool 2.
Let's do it.
This is like more story.
Yeah.
Than the first one. This was. Deadpool has been fighting organized crime for 2 years. They have a whole scene of him murdering everybody from
all different gangs and groups. Yeah.
Different gangs, very stylistically too, because like the bathtub where he's in Japan and like everyone's naked and he's just fighting. I don't know why I remember that scene. It was very just like the background of the room stand out to me. Him and his girlfriend Vanessa, they're living together, and then she gets killed, and
kind of sets off the whole
basically
thing.
Deadpool wants
to die too.
Yeah, he wants to die too, so he spends his time trying to die. He gets recruited by the X-Men, as in just the two X-Men, because no other X-Men are ever there except for a small cameo scene that is obviously like weird when they open the door and it's like, oh, this is definitely screen.
Well, that and the fact that all of the X-Men are like 20 years younger than they should be for the timeline.
Oh yeah.
So that's also the
90s.
Yeah. Deadpool takes place.
When does Deadpool take place?
In current time, I think.
You'd assume. They don't tell you.
Yeah, anything. They don't outright say it, but it's pretty implied, I feel like. So that's kind of funny, but I love the idea of Deadpool trying to kill himself over and over again and just failing in all different creative ways.
And then he gets recruited by the X-Men, by Colossus, which is like the dumbest thing you could do because Deadpool's not a hero. No. He's not going to handle it in a way that's going to make people go, oh, yes, very admirable. It's like, oh, shit, what the fuck
did he just... Did he just shish kebab that guy?
So, yeah, basically he meets Russell, and then Cable comes, or they go to jail. Cable comes in.
Breaks him up.
And that's essentially the story. The kid, then he has to kill the kid to save the future.
Very Terminator-style storyline.
Yep. Which is Cable-ish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's very much him as a Terminator-esque character. And they really played into it a lot, I feel like, for this movie. Like, references and stuff. Like, even showing him with, like, the glowing eye and stuff, which I know he has. But it's very iconic Terminator scenes.
He is very iconic Cable. And I'm surprised they hired him. Because, like, it was Josh Brolin who plays Cable. He just played Thanos.
But,
or I think it was the same
thing. Almost at, like, the same time.
It was, like, back to back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say he is, like, the perfect Cable. Like, he fits him to a T.
Yeah. Yeah, he does fit Cable really, really well. And I see why they did it, but I'm like, at the same time, like, man, this guy is also Thanos right now. Josh Brolin's so hot right now.
Well, at least they do have, like, the good cover of Josh Brolin being Thanos in, like, complete makeup and CGI. So, like, you never actually see what he looks like underneath that.
That's fair.
So it's not quite, like, the same. So they could even bring this Cable into the MCU. And aside from Deadpool making, like, his jokes about how he's Thanos, everyone else would be like, Thanos is purple. What are you talking about? Like,
shut up, Thanos. Like, this not Thanos. Like, snap your fingers and he will be. But yeah, the whole story is essentially saving Russell. Who aligns himself?
It's like he's trying to live out what Vanessa wanted him to, kind of like a redemption story after she died.
But this one's very much a lot bigger stuff, a lot more added references. They have X-Force briefly and probably the craziest scene ever. Yep.
I feel like the X-Force scene is almost topped by James Gunn's Suicide Squad.
Oh, for like introducing a team and killing them off right away.
In spectacular fashion. It's just like a little bit more played out than Deadpool, but I mean, Deadpool definitely did it first, so.
Deadpool did it first, but they also, it was more surprising.
Yeah. Too. Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you were like, oh, X-Force. And, like, all right, we're not going to be the X-Men. We're going to be the X-Force.
Yep.
And I like the one character he was just dissing was Domino. Like, fuck.
Yeah, what kind of superpower is that?
Cool
yeah,
thing. That's not cinematic.
Yeah.
So silly.
Yeah, it turns out to be cool. The coolest scenes in the whole movie are Domino scenes.
Was it Zaza Beetz?
Yeah, Zaza Beetz.
She's great. I enjoy her. Mm-hmm. She was a really good Domino.
Oh, yeah.
And I think she comes back in this Deadpool and Wolverine for a little bit.
I hope so. I mean, she's like the only one that survived aside from, what's his face? Oh, I'm drawing a blank. The normal guy. Peter. Yep, I think that's right.
Well, Peter technically died.
No, he goes back and saves him. Time. So he doesn't die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say this. The introduction scenes, like they're trying to interview everybody, and then like that whole, what they did with the plane. I am blanking really hard. Parachuting.
Yep. Skydiving.
It's probably my favorite part of this whole movie because like the interviews are just funny because you're like, who's that? You're just invincible. You're in.
Yeah.
You know? And then like though Pinder wants to be in, like, do you have any powers? You're like, no. And then Peter's like comes in with a resume, like, you have no superpowers? Is it okay?
Yeah.
And he's just, God damn it. Yeah. Like, that's like the favorite joke of mine. Yeah. It's just him freaking out. I don't know why.
It's good. It's good.
And just like when he loses Peter, he's like, oh no, I like
him. Yeah. He's the one person that he goes back and saves.
You know what's funny? That's, I believe, the summer before Deadpool 2 when it came out. I was supposed to go parachuting. Mm. In the town that you're currently in,
yeah, actually. They do have a skydiving thing here.
And so I was supposed to go. We were supposed to do it. And we ended up getting a refund because it was too windy. Mm. And my first reaction was like, why the fuck does that matter? What do you mean too windy? Right. It's perfectly fine.
We're just falling.
I did not know what that meant.
Until you saw Deadpool 2.
And why it was so dangerous. Until I saw Deadpool 2. I'm like, oh yeah, Deadpool's right. And then I saw everyone flying around and then dying. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. You can't really control yourself in the wind.
I'm happy that I did not go skydiving that day because I would have died.
The best cameo in any movie ever was Vanisher being Brad Pitt. Yeah. It's so good. Especially because he was like,
it was great.
Nobody knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like they joked about it. No. And they're like, oh yeah, Brad Pitt is playing the invisible guy that you won't ever see
for seven seconds. Yeah.
Well, you didn't even know that he was going to be in it. Like as it seemed like it was just like a joke. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, he's the invisible guy that you'll never actually see. And then you actually do see him for a minute. And it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you have Shadow Star was an alien, and then he dies in the helicopter. Like, oh, he was an alien.
He's a green blood.
Were you expecting Juggernaut? Because I was not.
No, I can't say. I mean, going back, it's hard to remember back then, like what to anticipate. But I mean, Juggernaut is like a great choice. I feel like just being like that. He's literally the unstoppable force. I mean, that's exactly what Deadpool needs to go up against.
I love his first. Oh, Juggernaut! I'm such a fan. I should have brought my white pants. I love that joke. And then he just lists off all the comics that he's from, and he's like, "I'm gonna rip you in half now." Oh, okay.
He actually does rip him in half. Yeah, that's great. Oh, that's so good.
And then like the scene afterwards, like, "What does Juggernaut have that I don't?" Don't say legs. Don't say.
You know, I didn't. You know, we watched the last episode of The Boys last week. And I didn't even notice Kimiko's tiny baby leg that she grows for a scene, just like Deadpool.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, that's an obvious nod to Deadpool.
I didn't recall.
Yeah, it's just like a brief scene where it shows like her little baby leg, just like his. And I was just like, oh, yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. I do like Deadpool where like when he had his tiny little baby hands and he would just like caress flying out. And she's like, is that your tiny hand? She's like, yes, it's so soft.
He's like, I bet it's gonna feel huge.
Just like him growing, and he just has like a tiny little like,
yeah, when he stands up, yeah, there, when just... he stands up to Cable and he's just like waist height to him. Yeah, that's great.
This movie just, I don't know, was great. I like the fact that they had Black Tom and they didn't show Black Tom at all in his powers, but they just made fun of the fact that like, I'm Black Tom. You're like,
you're,
is that appropriate? Like all the jocks like, oh, you killed Black Tom, you racist.
Yeah. Oh yeah, classic.
Basically, Deadpool is just like a good time. Like, yep. I'm looking at the story. I'm like, I never can take a Deadpool story serious because it's just a bunch of jokes. But I also feel like it's at its best when it's not taken serious because the actual story kind of falls short.
Yeah, I will say that Josh Brolin playing Cable, like, super straight and serious, I think that just is perfect.
Oh yeah,
like, it just mashes so well because it's like they're in like two different movies almost. Like the scenes with him and then Deadpool, it's just like that.
Because it's all serious and just like
boom, serious,
boom, 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 and then Deadpool's just like, dude. Yeah. I like the where Cable's just shooting at him and he's just like blocking it with
just like in X-Men Origins.
And you cut, and then you cut back and it's just he's just full of
force. Yeah, he's like, ow, ow. It's so good.
And then at this moment, you do see Domino's power is in effect. Yeah, it's Deadpool. Great movie. Let's like scroll down to see where I got for questions. This movie live up to the hype of the first.
I think it honestly.
There's a lot of expectations.
I honestly think Deadpool 2 is better than Deadpool 1.
I agree.
So I think it definitely lived up to the hype and surpassed it. And that's why the hype is so huge on this movie, I feel like.
Can I say two things?
No, you can say one thing.
I want to say two truths because I feel like there's two truths to this movie. I don't think people were as hyped for this movie as the first one, and so I think a lot of people look at Deadpool 2 as like a lesser than the first one, but I also think this movie's better.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And if
I mean, there's definitely a lot of hype, but it wasn't like as hyped as the first Deadpool movie, like first rated R superhero movie. Like this one came out after Logan, so like we've kind of been down that road a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think
it's remember
in pretty much every way.
I remember that Tim Miller and Ryan Reynolds, they were fighting back and forth, and that's why they kind of split off from this second movie. And it's David Leitch who directed this one. And I believe it was Tim Miller who wanted to make it a bigger, more epic film, whereas Ryan Reynolds wanted to keep it more smaller and personal. Do you think the smaller scale worked to their advantage here?
Absolutely. Absolutely think it did because it allows you to really like focus on Deadpool and the jokes and the, and the gags and stuff like that, which is ultimately what Deadpool is about. I mean, he's kind of a joke character.
Yeah.
I mean, he has those serious moments and he has like not somebody to be trifled with. But at the same time, I mean, like his whole existence is kind of a joke. Like that's kind of what he lives for.
He's kind of a gimmick character. Yeah. He's a gimmick character and it's hard to read his comics for that reason because it's like hard to take his comics serious, but they are a good time. That being said, there's comics where like they did actually like be serious with Deadpool and grow, and that's probably one of my favorite comics of Deadpool I read was him being this like really silly character to growing as like a superhero, as a father figure, and then even like looking at Captain America is like, I want to be a better hero like you. And of course it's during the time that Captain America became Hydra.
Yeah, but ironic. Yep.
So in that, you know, he had to fight Captain America.
Is that after he loses his healing powers? Is that what the story is?
No, I don't think so.
Because there's like a good story about that too, I think, where he becomes like mortal.
I jumped into it halfway because I like read about it because I wanted to know more about Deadpool and it was about the time that these movies were coming out. So I was reading it. Really good story. I checked it out. What's his name? Dugan. Or is it Duncan? That writer. If you're looking to it, you'll see it.
What if they reveal that Vanessa was actually Lady Death all along? And introduce Lady Death. I think that's like one character that would be great for like the Marvel universe.
Could they do a Thanos versus Deadpool story though?
I think that's part of the problem, I think, is that we kind of missed that boat. That is like my one complaint about Endgame is I almost wish that would have been his motivation, would have been more true to the comics than his plan to save everything. Yeah. Like it did kind of make him more of a sympathetic villain because of that, because it was like his goals were in a way altruistic. But I think the idea of him trying to impress Lady Death, who doesn't want anything to do with him, is so much more interesting.
I think they're both interesting for two different reasons, but I do like the Lady Death in comparison to Deadpool because like those two fighting over Lady Death is exhilarating, and I do, but I also think there is a moment where like Deadpool now has the ability to travel through multiverses on top of break the fourth wall, and I feel like he has the ability to fight a Thanos for Lady Death in the future. Like, I think like you could theoretically come up with that.
I feel like the only way that it would make sense that Deadpool would be so obsessed with like Lady Death would be as if it turned out that Vanessa was Lady Death.
Mm-hmm. Which I love. I like that idea. I don't think they'll do it, but that would be a great idea. For this movie in particular, Deadpool 2, I felt like young Russell was the villain.
Is he the villain? Or, I mean, in a sense, because like that's like he's like the villain that they're trying to stop from becoming a villain.
Yeah, a bit like, so think about him in prison, right? He is essentially the antagonist that Deadpool is trying to convert, right? He then brings out Juggernaut, who becomes the antagonist, and it's all about saving this child who is dead set on this path.
Saving him from himself.
Like, it's definitely not...
I mean, in a way, yeah. I guess, yeah. And even, like, the school teacher or whatever, the whoever that guy was, I can't remember what academy or institute, whatever thing that he was in, that kind of tortures him and stuff like that to kind of make him into this.
Oh, that's Essex.
Is it Essex? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I think that could be kind of like the antagonist too, even though he just gets taken out by Dopinder after he goes back in time.
I wish Mr. Sinister was this Deadpool Wolverine except villain, and like the goofier, like the more present goofier nature of
the like kind of flamboyant kind of crazy plan Sinister, yeah, the one that's like obsessed with Jean Grey and Cyclops.
Yeah, I think that would have been perfect.
I wish we would, for a Deadpool. That is like the one X-Men character that I feel like we've needed for so long and just haven't gotten it. It was Mr. Sinister.
You should just imagine a Bryan Cranston playing that character in like the flamboyant fashion and then matching Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool.
I'm down for it.
Like, I don't think we're going to ever get it, but it'd be great. Since we're coming up on time, what's your favorite gag?
And Deadpool 2.
Favorite Joker. Yeah.
I mean, the end credit scene where he goes back in time and kills everybody is pretty good, right? I mean, like, that's what people remember from the movie, him killing, like, the other Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds while he's reading the Green Lantern script. Yeah. Like, and trying to kill baby Hitler.
Or the Hugh Jackman scene. Ah, you don't know me. Yeah. You know, like, that fits perfectly.
This movie is almost like a commercial for Deadpool and Wolverine in a sense, with like the amount of references and stuff like that to Hugh Jackman. Is like they were asking, you know, they knew what they wanted to do next this whole time, and maybe that's why it took so long, was because they knew that they needed to get Wolverine into it, and with Hugh Jackman being retired and stuff, they really had to have something that was worth Hugh Jackman coming back for.
Oh, for sure. And Hugh Jackman is the one who like pushed for it. He's the one who like thought of it and wanted it. Oh,
that makes it even better. Because I think Logan is like pretty much peak.
I think Wolverine's going to be the steal of the show. Mm. Like, I think he's going to be like the main character. I think he's going to do what Colossus did and Cable did, but like better. Because Hugh Jackman just see like, when I see the commercials, I'm like, he's so fucking serious and it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm hyped to see Hugh Jackman as Wolverine again. I think that's the biggest thing I'm excited for, especially in like the iconic suit. Right.
Very much so. Some of my favorite gigs. I already mentioned them. The zip at Thanos, the hiring of Peter and Dopinder being just ticked off because of it. X-Force dying. Luck isn't cinematic. The Black Tom joke. The Hawkeye disc was great too. Yeah. Like, without my powers, just give me a bow and arrow. I'm essentially Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I'm like, this one, I don't know if it's like in the top 10, but I think just because of the reference is definitely up there. I made mistakes. I want to take them back. You trusted me, and I took that trust, and I turned it into a glory hole in the airport bathroom, the one in Minneapolis. You know.
Yeah. That's a deep reference.
And being from Minnesota, being in like the Minneapolis airport, being in their bathrooms, just being like, hold up, is there a story here, or is this him just randomly making?
There is a story there. You know the story?
I don't know the story.
You don't know the story? There's been like multiple, like including a really famous Christian, who got caught using the glory hole in the Minneapolis bathroom and like lost his position and stuff because of it. I don't remember his name.
Real life.
It'd been like multiple times. It's like people go to the Minneapolis airport to hide their gay ways. It's a kind of a thing.
Next time I go, I gotta find it. Not for any other particular reason.
I'm sure they probably replace it all the time. People just keep drilling new holes. Yeah.
You just gotta make a new hole.
But yeah, no, that's real life right there. Yeah. I can't remember the politician's name. I don't know how important it is to look it up, but yeah, there was like a really famous politician that lost everything because of the
That's a very deep cut. Thank you, Brandon, for the deep cut of Minneapolis glory holes.
Yep. At the airport. Very specific.
The airport that you've been to often.
Many times. No comment.
All right, let's get into the rating and the MVP.
Okay.
This one I gave a solid four. This one is above Deadpool.
Yeah, I mean, a solid four, maybe even a four plus. Like, I don't know. There may be a little opportunity where they could have done a few more things, but at the same time, it's almost like if you start pushing things, other things too much, then you start to lose out on what makes Deadpool Deadpool.
I feel like they could have made like the story more epic than what it was. I feel like if they would have made it less small scale and more epic, but kept it to the characters themselves, I think it could have been higher, the 4+, 5- category. But the fact that it's such a small scale story, it didn't feel higher than a 4+, if not a 4.
Yeah, I do think you do run into that same issue though when you start making it like a bigger scale, like event or something like that, like some world ending event. Like, where is the rest of the X-Men? Why aren't they all there? Like, we know they exist and stuff like that. Whereas, like, at least if it's like a smaller scale like this, it makes a lot more sense for there to be less people involved. And with Cable coming back in time and stuff.
This is literally the story about saving the soul of one kid.
Yep.
And I think like this could have been, and like the kid's kind of a douche in the, like we don't cheer for Russell throughout this movie. So I just feel like this movie could have like, if it was like, it was great for what the story was being told. Like, I think it was great for that regard. And it was it serviced the story for what you wanted to do, which is essentially just tell a bunch of Deadpool like jokes. Like, it did well in that regard, but overall, like, is this one of the best superhero movies of all time? I think it's forgettable.
That's a bold thing to say. Forgettable.
But like, when you think of like greatest superhero movie, like great superhero movies, do you say Deadpool 2?
Yeah,
Deadpool maybe.
That's,
but you don't say Deadpool 2.
Yeah, but is that fair? Or is that just because people don't think about it as much? Because when you think about Deadpool, you immediately think about the first one because that one is so iconic.
I don't think it matters if it's fair or not fair. I think it's just one of those, at the end of the day, when you think of this movie, what do you remember? You remember Juggernaut, you remember Cable, you remember X-Force, that scene. And that's kind of it. You don't think of like, oh, this was a great story. This was like one of those movies that you just have to watch over and over and over again. You watch it for the jokes. Yeah. You don't watch it for, it's a great movie.
But I mean,
at least you'd
say the same thing about the first one. There's not really, there's not really a story in that either.
Yeah.
It's just, you watch it for the jokes, but for the scenes, for the action.
But you think of the first one because it's the first one to do.
Yeah, that movie. That's fair.
So, fair or not fair, like, I'm not saying it's not a great movie. It's just a forgettable great movie, if that makes sense. You know, I think of, like, the Suicide Squad 2 of the day. Like, that movie is going to be forgettable.
Unfortunately. Even though it's probably the best DC movie.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. But you don't think of that movie.
I do, but...
You know, it's...
But, like... It is kind of in its own thing, too. That's part of it. Like, when you think about... Like, especially like the MCU, it's going to change now with the new movie, but you definitely don't even think about Deadpool when you're thinking about like the greatest superhero movie referring to the MCU. You know, you're kind of stuck in the MCU. And then like, especially when you consider the fact that most of the other Fox movies are kind of mediocre at best. Like, I mean, X2 is pretty good for what it was at the time. But other than that, I mean, like the Fantastic Four movies weren't really a whole lot of anything.
They weren't great. I mean, Amazing Spider-Man 2, you throw that in there. I know that's not technically Fox.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you get the two iterations of X-Men characters. You get Wolverine's, all of his stories.
Logan. I mean, and when it comes to Wolverine stories, it's pretty much just Logan as far as like actually being good, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, Wolverine is fine. The Japanese movie.
I was not a big fan of that one.
I got to do my state of review for X-Men. We haven't done that yet.
There was a lot of them. First Class was fun too, but I don't consider it to be peak. Days of Future Past was one of the better ones, but yeah. I think that's probably the second best Wolverine movie because it's basically just another Wolverine movie.
Yeah. So I agree. There's a couple other ones too. Why am I blanking on the one with magic?
New Mutants.
Yes, that one.
I mean, that one also had the SX Corporation, but that one was completely like forgettable because it was just like so nothing burger.
It was. It could have been so much better. Plus, like the person who plays Magic is actually a really good actress. Yep.
I had really high hopes for that movie for a long time until it just kind of fell off the radar. And then they just kind of quietly released it. And I was like, oh, yeah, this movie must be terrible. Because they were like pitching it as like this horror movie, you know, like this scary, which I think would have been great. And it kind of had some of those elements in there, but it just didn't go hard enough, I don't think, in any way.
Yeah, it got lost in the shuffle, and then Disney purchased them, and then they finally released it. But like, there was no active plans for this movie, and I think that's just as we talk about Fox as a whole. We talk about Deadpool, like it kind of gets lost in the shuffle, and that's where Deadpool 2, fair or not fair, it does get lost in the shuffle, and I don't think it like establishes itself like more. Like even if it's a great film, it doesn't like. It's not one of those films that you just like remember.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you have to watch the first Deadpool. You remember the first Deadpool. And then you kind of just, I feel like, at least me personally, I put those two together.
Yeah. They do kind of go together. I mean, it's the best Juggernaut, though, right? Like, way better than X3 Juggernaut.
Oh, yes. And yes.
Also,
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
And also, Cable, I mean, is almost perfectly played in that movie.
Yeah. Domino, too. First time we've seen Domino live. That character that I cannot NWT. See your name.
NTW.
NWT.
NTW.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead. NTW. Yeah,
I've heard people call her that girlfriend. It's a mouthful.
That's a joke we didn't talk about. What's her name?
Yumiko?
It's like Kimiko.
Yeah, right? I think it's with a Y. I think it's like Yumiko.
Yumiko.
Who is also
just so used to
saying who is also
Yukio.
Yukio. There we go. We were both close. Yeah. Who is also the same character that's in the Wolverine, but played by a totally different actress and different powers.
Interesting. I just like her character. She's like, "Hi, Wade," and he's like, "Oh, hi."
She's all nice and sweet.
Like it's always just like it's like a friendly interaction. I just like that joke. It's like, "Hi, Wade." Hi, and then it's like
some of the best gay the first gay couple in a superhero movie.
Yep. Is it officially?
Wow. And some of the like consider some of the best representation just because they don't like really linger on or anything. It just kind of like they say it and then they just exist, you know, like normal people.
Yeah. Who was it? I was just thinking of the writer for Andor Star Wars. They were talking about how they had the first gay couple in
Star Wars
history. Yeah. And they were talking about how like, oh, this was going to be a lot bigger deal. But like, it was never a thing. No one ever brought it up. And I didn't even realize that couple was gay and they like didn't bring it up because like, but they talked about how like we didn't linger on it. We just like treated them as any other couple. Like, hey, this is a couple. Mm-hmm. Cool. Move on.
And that's like, the best kind of representation in my opinion. Cause otherwise it seems like you're pandering, you know, or like you're trying to push an agenda, which isn't really the point, you know, if anything, you know, just normalizing things. That's the best way to go about it.
Right. And then like the Acolyte, at least like off screen, I wouldn't say on camera, but like off camera, they're very much like, oh yeah, this character is this and this, and this character is this. We're going to be more appropriative. And it's like, cool. Write a good story.
Yeah, first. Absolutely. That's what it always comes down to. You know, it's not about just shoving, you know, like things in people's faces. It's about, you know, making characters that are interesting and likable or, you know, just interesting in general. I think that's the key.
Exactly. Okay. MVP, and then we can wrap this up.
Deadpool 2, I mean, once again, it's hard to not say Deadpool just because he's so much like, I mean, 90% of the movie is him, you know. I do think Cable is great, though, in this movie.
I have an alternative.
What's that?
I think Peter deserves it.
I mean, Deadpool would probably agree with you.
Well, let's say, like, let's say Deadpool, but like, let's list Peter.
Okay. That seems fair. Yeah, we'll put that officially. It's Peter, but we know
it's Peter. It's Deadpool. The other ones, I mean, Colossus is always great. Depender is always great. Cable's on there too. Like, but it's hard not. I'm like, I don't know if the MVP works for Deadpool because it should just be Deadpool. Even like Deadpool Wolverine, it's got to be one of those
two. Yeah, I mean, they're just like such character driven stories that, like, I mean, you spend so much time on one character that it's hard to not view them as like the most important character in the show.
Yeah. Movie. So I feel like if the title of the movie is the character, like the main character, and they don't win MVP,
you did something wrong with your movie.
There might be. Yeah. Or we just are biased as fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're technically the ones that give the MVP awards, but
that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. All right, well, that is the 100th episode of Don't Evolve Me. We did our review for Deadpool. And that was we did our preview, and we did the review for Deadpool 1 and 2 with guest Brandon Klein, a.k.a. Memer. Mm-hmm. Until he gets the mask, then you don't know his name. We will edit all of this.
Yeah, go back and reshoot everything.
It's okay. Only 20 people have seen this.
That's fair. So far.
So, all right. And this is the one.
Yeah, this is the one that'll pop off.
And then you can no longer hide. Yep.
I'm out there.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and thanks everyone for listening. And we out.